Welcome in, everyone, to Morning Invest on this Monday, November 22nd. It is Thanksgiving week. Welcome in. We've got a very busy show for you this morning. We are getting word that we will hear a new Fed chief announcement. Could happen as early as this morning. Punchbowl News reporting this breaking news. So could Fed chief Jerome Powell be kicked out, kicked to the curb? We'll have that for you this morning.
We're also going to talk about other nominations in financial positions and whether or not they are for the people or for the big banks. We're going to debate that.
Yeah, and turns out the media just absolutely loves Bill Gates. And there's a reason why. I know it'll be shocking to many of you what that reason actually is. We will have all of that and more as Morning Invest kicks off on this Monday morning.
Holiday week, everybody. Welcome to your Thanksgiving week. Today is Monday. We do intend to do a show all the way to Thursday. Yeah. And we will be off on Friday. We are so happy to be here with you. It is not a doldrums week. We have news. The economy continues to, keep us on our toes. The pandemic rages on. So there's plenty to talk about. And yes, I know I look like a bumblebee today.
Yeah, but
the chat room's pointing that out.
It's okay.
You can blame... You know, this is a Marc Jacobs shirt. It's not like...
See, you don't get stung by her.
You might.
The bees are absolutely amazing, so...
I make no promises.
Yeah. You know, they make honey, so look at it that way.
Our world runs on pollinators.
They look dangerous, but they're actually pretty sweet.
That's nice of you to say. You don't know.
All right, let's kick it off. Let's talk about this inflation. So Team Biden right now has got a little pep in its step after a pretty terrible few weeks for the Biden administration, dealing with all host of problems, and some of them self-inflicted, by the way. Now it turns out Team Biden is going on the offensive. President Biden is going to speak tomorrow about inflation and the economy before taking off, heading to Nantucket for vacation. We could get an announcement just in a few minutes here, maybe early this morning on the Fed choice. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first on inflation. So the president is going on the offensive because, and I think this is really fascinating, that there's been this move now from the White House basically saying, all of these prices that you're seeing, all of these high prices, this is as a result of monopolistic practices by the meat industry, by big corporations, that they are colluding with one another, running up prices, that these are not organic price increases. And I think this is a really smart strategy from the, I'm going to say this, I think this is a really smart strategy from the Biden administration to say, hey, all these inflated prices you're suddenly seeing here, this is not organic. This isn't just happening because of the pandemic. This is actually happening because these big businesses and corporations are getting together and they're raising prices and blaming it on the pandemic. And
yes.
I think they have something there. And actually, they have quite a bit of evidence to support this, by the way.
And just like they blame raising the gas prices on the pipeline hack. And we were told that the prices will go back down once this is all figured out. But it never did. It's continually going up.
Yeah, and right. Now we're seeing $6 gas prices. $6. You think that this is odd? Look at this. This is California.
Absolutely not. But then just this morning, oil prices are down. So how does this... You make a good point here, right? If oil prices are down, why is that savings not being passed on to consumers? Consumer prices have not fallen at all. Now, experts are saying oil prices are down because COVID continues to rage in Europe, and that continues some kind of uncertainty in the supply chain. Plus, there's an oversupply in Japanese oil reserves. So there is no such law as supply and demand anymore, right? There are only goods, services, consumer prices, and then some perversion that exists based on corporate profit.
It's interesting in this piece this morning from the White House. The White House took a step in this direction earlier this week, and maybe that's why the Biden administration is seeing this as an opportunity to maybe increase their approval ratings. But I think that, the cynic in me says, oh, this is like a smart move here for them, right? Because anytime we want to target big business and say that it's big business's fault, that's going to be a winner for the American people. But I think they're actually right on this, and there's plenty of evidence to support this. And in this piece, the White House took a step in this direction early this week, with Biden urging the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, to start investigating anti-competitive behavior in the oil and gas industry, which the president alleged was leading to higher prices for drivers at the pump. Administration officials have discussed launching similar measures, with aides calling attention to the grocery sector as food prices rise. So, and specifically targeting the beef sector. Mm-hmm. Like, why are these meat prices, which there's no reason why these things should be, there should be this overwhelming demand and these surging prices.
Well, meat producers have said that is specifically due to increased gas prices because they have to actually ship livestock around and butchered meat to the stores, right? And also the feed has become more expensive. The price of the feed that they give the livestock has doubled.
Are we buying that?
I don't know. I don't have any evidence to the contrary.
I mean, well, the White House is saying, and if we believe what the White House is saying, that these gas prices are artificially inflated right now.
Listen, this is how it went down. So Buttigieg comes out and says, we're going to try to pay for all this stuff that we're doing with the gas tax.
See, they got transportation,
a lot of pushback on it.
Yeah, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Right. Yeah.
They come out, they say they're going to try to pay for it with a gas tax on us. People buck against it. They don't like it. Then all of a sudden, there's a hack of the pipeline. Then all of a sudden, gas prices go up, and they say they're going to go back down. And it, like, in my mind, I'm thinking they got their gas tax without being able to blame it on something else, basically blame it on Russia. And so now we've got higher gas prices because of Russia. It just seems too coincidental that that's how it happened.
Yeah.
And do they get to now blame it on them as the scapegoat bad guy? You know, it's funny, though, you get to blame it on them. But at the same time, the Biden administration is also opening up additional drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and allowing them to do additional oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico 4 days after they get back from the COP26 conference. So, you know, something is not smelling right. But as an anonymous White House source this morning says, who spoke on the condition of anonymity, says the administration has been focused since the beginning on antitrust measures from housing to agriculture. So this has been part of their agenda before they were even in office, aimed at part at reducing consumer costs. Senior White House officials published an analysis back in September on the role of concentration in the meatpacking industry on higher prices. So you can go and read that analysis back in September. Before we were seeing this rampant explosion in prices here as we head into the holidays. So,
well, if you look at this inflationary chart about the Thanksgiving dinner, right? Yeah. It does seem to support that most of the things that have increased in price are meat products. Look at the price of the turkey, right? Almost $5 more than it was just last year. The price of the ham, a full $1.71 more than it was last year. The other things, the vegetables, it's not, you know. Not
cranberries so up 29 cents. By the way, I can't stand cranberries.
Nobody likes cranberries. It's just in either. There.
I don't know. There's always like out of 10 people, there's one person that likes cranberries.
Yes, yeah. And we don't have them.
Like, should we get cranberries for Mildred? So Aunt Mildred's coming. I know Aunt Mildred likes cranberries. Aunt Janice is coming. Let's get cranberries.
I asked, my mom is the only one who likes them. And I was like, can you just put some jelly on the side? Like, is that the same? Or just, I mean, really, it's an acidic side dish to cut the like heaviness of the dinner. So maybe I can just cut her some lime wedges and the same thing.
Rolls are not up much. I mean, but yeah, mostly it's the meat. It's the meat costs. And so you have to wonder, is the Biden administration onto this? I mean, they're saying that they're literally calling out what the White House is working on to say that this is not happening. Are they going to win this argument, though, with the American people? That's the issue, right? So the Americans get around their Thanksgiving table and they're going to be like, that Biden's responsible for my turkey being increased, when in actuality might not have anything to do with him at all. In fact, it can be collusion between these big businesses quietly saying, hey, let's, under the guise of a pandemic right now, let's increase our prices 10% per 10 cents per pound. Shh. No one
knows. And these are the people
that and shrinkflation, which we see where you're getting the same priced product, but there is less inside of it. If you pull back up that chart, though, most stuffing also has meat in it. So I take issue with that price, only 52% more because
52 cents
or 52 cents more.
Actually, that's down. Stuffing
is down,
negative. It's
because
negative
of bread
52.
Prices. And I mean, the ingredients of stuffing usually has meat. So that's BS. I also call BS on the pumpkin pie because there's dairy in that, which is also increased. The price of milk is no longer 99 cents a gallon or whatever CNN tells you it is. So I don't know about all this. Also, most people buy wine and beer and other cocktails, and the price of those things are also up. I dare you to try and do a Thanksgiving dinner for $65. I just don't see it. Every time these prices are published, I'm like, how? That's not possible. Well, I don't know who can do that. David, sorry, David. I interrupted you because I got upset about stuff.
No, that's totally fine. So I was saying, like, these are the same people that are doing this stuff that created the knowingly created a food pyramid that was bad for you initially. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
it's the meat
yes.
industry. Like, they lobby Congress and get all these perks and everything. So it's like they can pretty much do whatever they want and they're going to get away with it. And chances are we're probably subsidizing them right now, too.
Oh, of course. And this is the thing that so a lot of economists are skeptical. Like, are you going to, as Biden, going to be publicly cajoling these companies? Is that going to actually let them, like, lead them to lower their prices across the board? You know, by calling out Walmart, by calling out FedEx, by calling out Target over their supply chain stuff, by calling out Tyson Foods. Mm-hmm. Is that going to do anything? Are they going to lower their prices?
Absolutely not. But then what's the alternative? Is some kind of government intervention of inflationary practices?
Perhaps. And it's what they have in some other countries, by the way.
Get Fidel Castro on the phone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they have this in other countries where you're not allowed to, you're not during this. I mean, why in other countries aren't we hearing about this, by the way? Why in other countries aren't we seeing these artificial price raises? I'm just curious. I'm just saying,
I don't know,
to be skeptical.
But I think Fox News will blow up if you start to say, like, more government intervention of prices, right? That's not, so you're hard pressed to get any
who
kind of agreement
screwed?
On that.
Who gets screwed, right? So consumers are out there spending, but it's consumers who have money. And there's just millions of Americans who don't have money. They're paying more for rent. They're paying more for food to put on their table. They're paying more for gas prices. And it's those people that get screwed time and time again. So I'm fine if Fox News, you know, if they explode over this, over my thoughts on this, that's fine. That's absolutely fine about it. I think it's fine to actually have this idea that, you know what, we should be we shouldn't be artificially paying more for things. And Grover agrees with that.
He does.
Grover totally agrees with me, and it's about time.
Okay.
Thank you, Grover.
The chat room's having a good debate over whether or not there should be meat in your stuffing, or as some people regionally call it, dressing. And
what do you guys think?
I don't think I've ever had meat in my stuffing.
Really?
I had never had meat in my stuffing until I met Bumblebee over here. And
it's supposed to be made with the giblets or the giblets, however you say giblets. That, as someone in the chat rightly points out. But I do not use the giblets other than in the stock. And so, yeah, I just put like some of the... What?
Crystal says her dogs are barking at Grover. Yeah. Sorry about that. Grover heard the door.
Brian Cody, I put sausage. I take one of those like Jimmy Dean's and squeeze that out and just to sort of simulate the giblets that I am not using.
Well, you're not getting any Jimmy Dean this year because we're in Europe and they don't have processed.
They have like the best pork over there?
Yeah. Yes. Portugal has the best pork in the world. Yeah. So the Spanish pork producers will actually bring their pigs over to Portugal to let them feast on all the acorns. And they actually lease the land for that purpose. So yeah, Portugal has the best pork in the world, actually.
One thing I'm absolutely against is raisins or cranberry or anything fruit-like in the stuffing. Please don't do that. And if you do, we're going to have a fight over it. I don't like that. Who likes that? Anybody here?
No.
No. No.
Can I ask a quick question before we move on?
Yes.
How come we call cow beef, we call pig pork, but we call chicken and turkey? Like, what? Why is that? We don't say, hey, we're going to eat some cow tonight.
I don't know.
Well, maybe back in the day they used to say, we're going to eat fowl, right? So maybe it's like a recent change where we just now call chicken.
And why is chicken singular no matter how many chickens you cook? I read this in a book recently. When you can have like 8 chickens that you...
Or poultry,
prepare, but you still say we're going to eat chicken. You never say we're going to eat chickens. It's only plural in the livestock.
Yeah, you're right about that. I never say like poultry. Oh, we found something. Joyce says she likes raisins... But not in stuffing. Not Joyce. Sorry, I got the wrong person there. Oh, Joyce says, I like raisins in my stuffing. Ooh, no. Lamb is lamb, Jim Jackson points out.
Or veal. I say veal. Or Or mutton.
Mutton? I don't even know what mutton is.
That's lamb.
Tegan, what are you doing? Yoga?
No, my shoelaces are too tight and it's hurting my feet. So I have to loosen the laces.
Why are you wearing shoes?
Laces out.
Laces out. Tiny footballs.
They're little footballs.
All right, we've got more news to get to this morning. Let's talk about what's going to happen with President Biden and the Federal Reserve. So just a few minutes ago, the Punch Bowl News reporting that they are close to an announcement. It could happen today. No, it will happen today. Punch Bowl News is emphatic that it's going to happen today. And I will read to you. Breaking news, the White House will announce today whether it will nominate Fed Chair Jerome Powell for a second term, according to multiple sources involved in the decision-making process. So it's going, I guess, no Lael Brainard is going to be nominated. The decision is largely seen as being between Powell and Lael Brainard, an economist who serves on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. Brainard also served in the Obama administration, and her husband, of course, works in the Biden White House. So will it be Powell? Will it be Brainard? If I have to see where the political winds are going right now, all we needed to do was see where Democrats were this weekend. So if you're watching the Sunday shows this weekend, you will have seen Democrats who are throwing their support behind Powell. These are more centrist Democrats who are in favor of big banks. But just listen to John Tester this Sunday on Meet the Press saying that he would, you know, support a Fed Powell renomination.
Very quickly, in September, you expressed support for the president to reappoint Jay Powell as Fed chair. There's a lot of your colleagues would like to see a new Fed chair. It is... If the president goes a different direction, do you think that puts the current economic situation at peril at all?
Yeah, I think it would be a mistake. I think Jerome Powell has a proven track record, and Chairman Powell should get reappointed. I think we've got issues that revolve around inflation that he can't do much about as long as he's not confirmed. He needs to be appointed. We need to confirm him. I think he would be confirmed by a large margin if the president appointed him. And then he can get to work as chairman of the Fed and do a good job as he's done in the past. I think he did.
Well, he got his wish, John Tester, because moments ago, about 5 minutes ago, we now just got word that, yes, in fact, Joe Biden has picked Jerome Powell to lead the Fed for a second term. And this is not surprising. Like, it's not surprising when you understand who's running the show. And it's big banks.
Yes.
You understand, once you understand, just follow the money. Just follow the money. You have progressives. You had Elizabeth Warren.
But the White House still releases a statement saying, during his time with this excellent leadership, Lael Brainard, one of our country's leading macroeconomists, has played a key leadership role, and she's been working along with him. So, you know, they gave her a bone saying, we still see her influence as a positive thing, because you recall that Jerome Powell was a Republican nominee. He still has to, again, pass Senate confirmation. But I think what they're saying is, yes, we choose this guy, but she's there too. Both sides are represented.
I mean, they're not going to. First of all, he's already been in there. This is going to be an easy confirmation. It was seen largely that Lael Brainard was not going to be an easy confirmation, that she was going to be, you know, she would have been a thorn in the side of big banks. And you have senators who over the weekend came out and basically threw their support behind Jerome Powell, Democrats, who there's a track record with John Tester out of Montana, by the way, favoring big banks. There's been a number of now nominations that the president has put forward where you get the sense where these senators are or where the political winds are facing, which is if they're again, if this particular nominee is going to give any bit of trouble to Wall Street, they're not going to sail through confirmation hearing. So this is seen, by the way, this whole thing, why are we waiting till Thanksgiving week when we have got an economy that's arguably still in trouble with the pandemic? This is like a lot of people saying this is an unforced error. Like, why did you wait until Thanksgiving week to make this announcement? And there was question that they may have even punted it into December. Like, if you know where you were going on this, you should have made this announcement weeks ago.
Indeed. Maybe they wanted the market boost because the markets did raise slightly on this news. Because there's no instability, because it shows status quo and the markets like that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and he says he's going to basically continue. Nothing's going to change. We want to talk about like nothing changing. Mm-hmm. This is nothing changing, right? Jerome Powell is going to continue to funnel money to Wall Street. There's no sign of raising interest rates anytime soon, which could largely be seen as a way to stop this runaway inflation.
Yes.
So this is not going to change.
No, he's not even going to consider raising interest rates.
No. So interest rates will continue. Housing prices will continue to, I don't know, stay where they are. Maybe this runaway housing, you know, this runaway housing economy right now. $120 billion being funneled to Wall Street in the forms of buying back these junk bonds that they have. And so propping up Wall Street. Why? Why is a guy, and we should also just step back and say, here is a guy also who made millions of dollars off of stock trades that he was overseeing as Fed chair.
Yes.
Along with other members of the Fed board.
Well, Clayton, they changed the rules and slapped his hand.
Right.
So that's good.
All right. So there we go. After weeks of speculation, it is no change at the Fed. Jerome Powell, friend of the banks, is back. And more stimulus will continue into 2022 for Wall Street. So there you go. All right. All right. Should we tell everyone about our show sponsor today?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that?
And we've got more news to get to. All right, let's tell everyone about Movement, because they have a pre-Black Friday sale right now, and I am wearing my Movement watch right now. They are gorgeous watches that won't break the bank. If you're looking for a fantastic, fantastic gift that has style written all over it and will not cause you to break the bank, that's why you got to check out Movement. It's almost the holidays. And Movement, the original watch brand to break all the rules, started by two college dropouts who didn't want to overpay for nice watches, has you covered. They make gorgeous watches. Now they're bringing you the sleekest, most quality gifts of the season with hundreds of watches, blue light glasses, sunnies, and fine jewelry styles to choose from. You can stuff your stockings, impress your family, wow your parents, or just treat yourself. So they've got stuff that, you know, you might want yourself, you know, get a little something for yourself. And Movement is making it easy. Beautiful curated gift boxes, his and hers gift guides, free quick shopping right to your door just in time for the holidays. So I am a big fan. Let me show you mine. Here's my Movement watch. Gorgeous, isn't it? Gorgeous. David, you wear one for like going out, don't you?
I do. It's my date watch.
Yeah. Beautiful Movement watch. And they've been a perfect fit for family and friends. Great gifts, and it won't break the bank. And people love it. They're like, oh, I love that, Tark, because, you know, you get the little, what do you call them? What do you call the little, is it a complication, little complications that that pop up there?
Like the dates and stuff?
Yeah. Oh, it's, I'm having trouble focusing here. There we go. There, the little, like little circles, the little complications inside, like little offset with slightly different color in there. Just gorgeous. And it's super well built as well. They're designed in-house. They're super sleek. They're clean, and they won't break your bank, since they just start at $95 for a watch. Movement has clean, minimal designs, quality products, and they've sold almost 2 million watches in 160 countries. Guess what? You can get, you can be a big winner this holiday season with a gift from Movement. Just go to MVMT.com. There's the website, just MVMT right there on your screen. MVMT.com/invest to join the Movement. That's MVMT.com/invest. Thanks to them for their support of Morning Invest.
Well, Republicans are not for President Biden's choice for comptroller of cryptocurrency, and they are attacking her. Over the weekend, you have seen many Republicans coming out against Cornell Law Professor, how are we saying her name? Saul Omarova?
Yeah, Omarova. Yeah, is her name.
They specifically do not like her because of her her case for green public investment, as well as some of her scholarship on how regulation of banks is an important thing. And they don't want that. Why? Because these politicians are recipients of money from big banks. They want the big banks to stay big so that they continue to bankroll their campaigns. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, this is like sabotage. So you have Biden nominating, you know, this brilliant, brilliant woman, Cornell Law Professor, Omarova, because they, you know, she's been outspoken about bank regulation. She thinks basically that banks are hurting Americans. It would be a regulatory office in the Treasury Department that would oversee national banks. She has scholarship beginning back in the 1970s on talking about the wall between banking and non-banking activities. She studied banks, big move into commodity trading and other commercial ventures, and she thinks that it's toxic and it hurts Americans. And so Biden had the cojones actually to put her up for a nomination for this position. And it's been just really awful, brutal condemnation of her. And in some ways you could see even, I don't know, sexism.
Not in some ways.
I think that
sounds pretty outrageous.
Like anti-Asian, racism.
Read her papers, right? If it's just, oh, this will be bad for us, then... If you juxtapose this from the story we just did about Jerome Powell, you see what happens when he picks somebody who's not in the company line.
Right.
Right? This is what happens. So for the sort of marquee position, he had to stick with Jerome Powell. If this is what you get for, this is not even a public-facing type position, right? But look what's happening.
Well, and you know, it's not a public-facing position, and she was just kind of eviscerated during this Senate hearing, and a really disgusting, I think, takedown of her. Basically, we can't believe that you would be outspoken against big banks, and you have Democrats, as you pointed out, who John Tester and Mark Warner, who are basically coming out and also looking to throw her under the bus. John Tester, who, of course, has been propped up by big banks. We just saw John Tester just a moment ago when we were talking about his appearance on the Sunday shows. But I love how, listen to how, what's his name, Senator Kennedy wants to introduce her. And how should I introduce you? How should I acknowledge you? Are you a communist? Like, this is literally how they're asking her questions at the Senate hearing.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
You used to be a member of a group called the Young Communist, didn't you?
Senator, are you referring to my membership in the Youth Communist Organization while I was growing up in the Soviet Union?
I don't know. I wanted to ask you that question.
I have no idea. I just
thought. Well, Senator,
there was a group called the Young Communists, and you were a member. Is that right?
I'm not exactly sure which group you're referring to.
Well, the formal name of it is the Leninist Communist Young Union of the Russian Federation. And it's also known as the Leninist Komsomol of the Russian Federation. And it's commonly referred to as the Young Communists. Were you a member?
Senator, I was born and grew up in the Soviet Union.
Yes, ma'am. But were you a member of that organization?
Everybody in that country was a member of the Komsomol, which was the communist youth organization.
You were a member?
That was a part of normal progress in school.
It was required.
Have you resigned?
Have you resigned as a communist? Like, this is the kind of crap. I mean,
Marxist,
how does...
Or McCarthyism.
Yeah. Oh, so let me get this straight. So you oppose big banks running roughshod over communities, you oppose big banks doing the things that they're currently doing. I just want to be clear, that makes you a communist. No, it could mean that these banks have literally gotten us into the worst economic crises of the last, in our history.
Yes.
Multiple times, and we're facing it again right now. And by the way, you have an infrastructure, you have Jerome Powell, and you have this infrastructure that is supporting this corrupt banking system. We had Gerald Celente. Everyone should go and watch the video we released this weekend with Gerald Celente talking about the criminal enterprise. And he lays out in his Trends Journal how basically the banking system, it's like a criminal syndicate. And they are all, and they become members of the government. They become members of the Biden administration. They were members of the Trump administration. They were members of the Obama administration. It's all part of this. So if you oppose these big banks, if you have a problem with these big banks, then you're a communist. Then you're just that's what you are. You're just a communist.
It started in 1913 with the creation of the Federal Reserve. And you know what I think is crazy? Like, I honestly feel personally that, and this is my opinion, that Biden does this intentionally. He puts these people forward that he knows there's no way these people are going to be let in there because they would disrupt so much of infrastructure that, and he would be lying about nothing fundamentally changing. That would be a fundamental change.
So then he puts this, maybe you're right, he puts this forward just to appease progressives, right, to the likes of like Elizabeth Warren or something, so they can say, hey, he put this nominee forward. But then you have people like Democrats, John Tester and Mark Warner, who are going to oppose her nomination. Democrats who are on the same team, who are propped up by big banks, are going to oppose her nomination.
Remember how I told you they all go into a secret room and they decide who's going to be the bad guy of the month?
Yeah. Now it does feel like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it does.
And green public investment, you know? Like, I mean, and the banking industry, of course, like, has totally opposed her selection. Research from the watchdog group Accountable U.S. estimates that the Republicans on the committee, on this committee that are questioning her, have received over $7 million from commercial banks, including trade groups like the American Bankers Association. So these very same clowns that are literally challenging her as a communist are taking money from the bankers.
From
the, these guys.
From the young communists.
But that's ridiculous.
You grow out of it with age.
And it's shameful. You shouldn't be allowed to. It's just ridiculous. I don't know exactly.
Clayton,
there are no words for something like this.
Were you not in the Boy Scout organization?
Right.
At least that was a choice. You know, like at least being in the Boy Scouts was a choice.
You opt in.
I opted in to be. Actually, I don't think I had one either. I was in the Cub Scouts. I liked it. My friends were in it. I liked the Cub Scouts and the Weebelows or whatever. But it's like when you're in Israel, right? You have to join the military.
Yes,
like,
you do.
So she was, as a young girl growing up in the Soviet Union, she had to be a part of it. He's like, have you resigned since then? Have you resigned? It is McCarthyism, as Doug points out. It's just like going back to 1950s, you know? It's like Senator McCarthy all over again.
Well, shall we talk about Bill Gates?
We did take social studies. We were forced to take social studies in school. Is that...
Right. Have you resigned as your, like, American colonization roots? Are all of us... Do we have to resign as colonizers because we're born Americans?
Yeah, did you resign yet?
As a colonist, as colonization? A recipient of that.
That kind of stuff chaps my ass.
All right. This one chaps my ass. New documents show just how much money Bill Gates and his Bill Gates Foundation have donated to global media outlets. The sum total is astronomical. It's $319 million to various outlets. And pretty much all of them have accepted. The list starts with NPR. The Guardian, Cascade Public Media, Univision, NBC Universal, Le Monde, BBC, El País, CNN, The Telegraph. It's just, it's basically every publication you've ever heard of in your life. Now, some of these were from Bill Gates personally, and some of them were from the Gates Foundation. I immediately flashed back to this, like, wet kiss piece that I saw on CNN about how Bill and Melinda Gates have so much money, but they want to help the world, and she doesn't wear expensive jewelry.
No,
because
it was 60 Minutes.
Didn't I just say that?
CNN.
Sorry. It was a 60 Minutes piece. Yeah. 15 whole minutes on CBS. Primetime 60 Minutes piece.
Well, and 60 Minutes
about how much she doesn't wear diamonds because those things don't bring her joy. She would rather spend her time buying mosquito nets. And I feel duped because I was like, wow, she's a great person. That's wonderful.
Right.
I'll buy her book, sure. But how many other topics got put on the cutting room floor because the Gates Foundation is paying money to do these fluff pieces for us to think that they're wonderful people?
Right.
Well, then, you know, that lady that pushed him on the Epstein thing, she must not have got any of it.
Oh, no. She for sure got a hand slap.
I thought, you know, Judy Woodruff from PBS, you know, I thought, okay, well, let's see. Did PBS get any money? And sure enough, PBS, look right here, got $500,000 PBS from the NewsHour, from the Gates Foundation. All of these committed grants. Interestingly, when you look at, like, what was I going to point out here? Yeah, I mean, CNN, $3.6 million.
The Atlantic.
Million. B- BBC. Like, you know, think about ProPublica, right? We think like ProPublica is supposed to be really independent. Look at ProPublica, $1 million from ProPublica.
$412,000 to Medium.com. Now, Medium has mostly independent publishers. So I'm thinking, why would they give money to Medium? But Medium does have an algorithm to suggest authors and pieces. You could maybe influence those stories that are about Bill Gates and his sexcapades down, right. I suppose.
Yeah, like, why haven't we heard much of anything?
Writers.
Yeah, they would hire, exactly.
Oh, right, they do that too.
We haven't heard hardly anything. The only time we've heard about Bill Gates and his like relationship with Jeffrey Epstein or any other controversial stuff, like the fact that he, why has the media largely ignored like why he was pushed out at Microsoft? Like, you know, I've seen very little reporting about the salacious emails that were going back and forth between him and like a female staffer, like very, very little reporting on it at all. None of these companies have published stories. I haven't seen anything on it. 3.6 million at CNN.
Well, I did look through and try and find News Corp or Wall Street Journal, and the Wall Street Journal seemed to be, to my recollection, the newspaper that was breaking a lot of the divorce stories between the two of them.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal.
Which is owned by News Corp. I do not see them here.
So I guess if you don't get money from these people, like you'll actually do the news? That's the thing. Like New York Public Radio, National Journal. Basically, if you don't get money from Bill Gates, you'll actually cover Bill Gates?
I don't know. I mean, it did seem like their divorce was major headlines for a short period of time. And then there was some speculation. I don't think it belonged in the Wall Street Journal about whether or not he was unfaithful. I think as a business story, I think it was more interesting what happens to their corporations and what happens to the Gates Foundation. As far as like their personal life, though, I guess that's up in the air as somebody who is...
I saw it all over CNN, CNBC. CNBC, I saw it all over. When that story broke, they were arguing that it was a business story. And yeah, you could say with all of the charitable giving and everything else that CNBC did, or that the Gates Foundation did, that this was a big deal and it was a business story.
It also points out that their foundation is in partnership with not just donations, but in partnership specifically with Viacom CBS, makes it, you know, that 60 Minutes piece that I saw even more. And, you know, for me, it's sad. Like, as a journalism student, we used to hold 60 Minutes up as this, like, bastion of real magazine journalism. And
maybe it's still not, it. And like, well, maybe it still is, but then you have executives like calling downstairs to this, you know, hey, we want you to, you know, Bill Gates. That we think that would be a good story.
Those things absolutely happen.
Yeah.
And
well,
I don't
think
know.
Most of our news these days are just press releases from the
absolutely, you know, true. And yes, even in the 90s, there were stories about how 60 Minutes in its inception was hard news. But into the 80s and 90s, it started to become, I think, 60%, 70%, 80% about either like profile pieces of celebrities, entertainment type news. Mm-hmm. What's this, you know, new Hamilton play all about? That kind of stuff.
Right.
So,
I remember a story in particular remember the show 2020? Like, it was hard-hitting journalism, and these people got together, and they were going to do a story on the milk industry, and they had all of their research, and they were ready to put the story out, and the big wigs up top, like, nope, you're not doing this story. They are advertisers, we're pulling it. And they're like, but this is stuff that people need to know. They're like, nope, we're not doing the story.
Oh, that happens a lot. That happens a lot.
Well, and they made a whole movie about 60 Minutes with the smoking, you know, taking on the smoking industry and the cigarette industry. And they made that amazing Michael Mann film, The Insider, starring Russell Crowe. If you've never seen that movie, it's such a great movie. And he plays Jeffrey Wigand, who was the whistleblower. Right. And CBS corporate or lawyers got involved and were like, basically, you can't run this cigarette piece. You have to take out the most salacious part of it, which is that, like, they know, like, the cigarette companies knowingly, they knew the data, they knew that it caused cancer, and they withheld that information. And so CBS basically made them take that out of the 60 Minutes piece.
Yes.
So, and Lowell Bergman at the time, the producer for CBS, was the one who was like, I'm quitting, like, over this. Like, you know, you're gonna either run this piece or you're not, but I'm going to quit if you don't, because I don't know. I want to look at the top of this list. Univision, like $6 million almost. Like it's some interesting choices, like The Guardian, which is a very salacious, I mean, I think they cover, like, if you see, like, a lot of The Guardian, like, stuff, maybe they just want to keep this kind of stuff out of the headlines, and so that's why these particular
The Guardian,
papers.
The Guardian is the one that Glenn Greenwald started, isn't it?
He didn't start it. The Intercept is
Intercept.
He worked at The Guardian covering the Edward Snowden stories. That's where they broke the Edward Snowden stories. Yes. And then he left, of course. He quit The Guardian over huge disagreements with their editorial staff. But yeah, so I think they're editorially compromised, as many of these big media companies are.
It would be easy to do a content analysis and just go through all the stories that these publications have published, either about sort of more negative things about Bill Gates and the Bill Gates Foundation. Specifically, even another one comes to mind recently. Bill Gates just last year had a big 60 Minutes piece about his environmental endeavors and how he really wants to save the planet, right? And then they're like, oh, but you take a private jet. He's like, I do that. And then I buy carbon offsets. And it's like, just this big fat wet kiss about Bill Gates, right? But how, if you were to balance positive coverage of Bill Gates versus negative coverage of Bill Gates, it would just be so easy to do, and you would notice he gets overwhelmingly public support. And that piece specifically came out just before their divorce, so who's to say that that was accidental, right?
Well, and look at all the stories and stuff, like where we see this brought to you by Pfizer, you know, and Bill Gates has given multi-million dollar grants to Pfizer. So it's like he's got both sides trying to keep his reputation positive.
Yes.
Yeah. Just last week he was on some big panel where, you know, I mean, I think it was CNBC was fawning over him last week and in interviews, and we have an exclusive with Bill Gates and about all the vaccine studies and boosters and all of that stuff. And no one asks a question, you know, very little. If you can pay off all these people, what is left? There's very little media, independent media that exists out there. I can think of a few, like the Daily Poster, David Sirota's publication, The Gray Zone, featuring this story here, prospect.org, American Prospect. There are very few publications. I mean, that's why I'm glad that we get to do this show and call attention to that, but very little. I mean, we're not mainstream media, so we're not getting his millions of dollars in funding.
We're not.
We are not.
Well, that made me mad. I felt duped by watching those 60 Minutes pieces.
We should. These are the, this is the sad stuff, right? And millions of Americans that just take it and they're like, oh, that Bill Gates, he's such a good guy.
Oh, he's a good person.
He just gives so much money.
And we're not saying he's not a good person, but we do say that he is not getting fair coverage. And that, and you know what's so interesting, though, is that journalists themselves are not allowed to take any kind of gifts at all. Like, even, you know, when I worked at NBC, you know, we had the pages in the Today Show, you know, like just like Kenneth in 30 Rock. They cannot even take a stick of gum. Like, you can't even buy them a coffee, even if you're a contributor. And I was just like a contributor who would like go on and show off iPads and things like that. And like, I could not give them any. So like the journalists and the small guys, right, can get nothing. There are specific rules around that. But then the corporate heads can take whatever they want.
Right, like in our contracts as journalists,
you can't take anything.
Like, you can't take gifts or anything like that.
You can barely, like, you're really not even supposed to go to lunch with a PR person, you know?
Or you can, but you have to pay.
Or, like, yes, you cannot exactly.
You cannot be taken to lunch or anything.
You can go to a briefing, like if you meet with Apple and they are in a hotel room, like showing off, you know, that
new
kind
iPads
of stuff. Like,
or iPhone. Yeah.
They'll have a coffee bar. You can have that. But you're really, like, there are strict rules around this. As a journalist, you can't just take things, but the corporate office apparently can.
Sounds like you're basically college football players.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, man.
All right. Well, we're going to tell you about our show sponsor over at Simply Safe before we move on to what's trending. Now, you know the holidays are coming, and it's time to make sure that your home is protected more now than ever. Refer to the movie Home Alone if you want to know why.
Right.
Now, of course, this week our friends at Simply Safe are going to have a Black Friday deal, and it's really great. Simply Safe is a home security system that works with your home Wi-Fi network to keep an eye on your home and hearth, your pets, your family. It's an outdoor and indoor camera that works with an app, and it's really super easy to use, super easy to set up, and it's all monitored around the clock by trained professionals who send help when you need it. So for instance, if something is moving around in your house when it thinks no one's there and it wants to know what's going on, doesn't think it's a pet, it's going to let you know. Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2021 by U.S. News and World Report, and it's easy to set up in just minutes. You even get free custom recommendations because Simply Safe knows the layout of your security system and will say, hey, maybe put this here, or how about this?
Yeah, because you
or
can
how
put,
about adding this person to your list, right?
Like you can put like motion sensors in a corner over that room. You want to put like window breakage sensors on that window. Like you can mix and match and make the system for your own home. It's really great.
Now, you may recall that listeners of our show were offered last time they sponsored the show 20% off, but this time, because it's Black Friday, you are being offered 50% off your new home security system. Here's what you have to do to get that is go to simplysafe.com. Now it's SimpliSafe.com/invest to get 50% off your entire home security system. If you've been waiting, wait no more. Now is the time. We thank them so much for their support of this show. Protect your home and hearth with Simply Safe.
50% off. Would you say hearth or hearth?
Home and hearth.
Hearth is a hearth.
Home and hearth.
Hearth is like the fireplace. What is a hearth? Is it a fireplace? Does anyone know?
It's like a fireplace you cook your dinner in, I believe.
I used to go to a place in South Bend, Indiana Guinness called the Fiddler's Hearth. And it had a great big fireplace when you walked in. So I don't know, maybe there is some kind of...
Like gather up by the hearth and sit by the fire. I always think of it like a fire, like a big...
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
This place had this huge fireplace, and then they had Irish bands and stuff that would play while you sat in there. And
that sounds awesome.
I like that.
That sounds like my kind of... Oh, here we go. A definition of a hearth is a brick, stone, or concrete area in front of a fireplace. So it's the area like where you would gather in front of the fireplace.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. All right. So gather up by the hearth on this Thanksgiving.
Very good. Do that. Protect your family. You and yours.
All right, we got... So what Natalie loves to do is she loves the internet, and she loves scouring the internet for things that are trending. And randomly throughout the day, she would be like, why is Tobey Maguire trending? And then she'll dive into... Like, she really...
I do that.
She does that.
Because I'd like to think that I'm someone who's, like...
Hip?
On the cutting edge of what's being talked about. And most of the time when you search around for what's trending, I realize I know nothing.
Right.
I know JoJo Siwa is on Dancing with the Stars, and I know that she sells really big bows in Claire's, but I do not know otherwise what she does.
So you might look at Natalie and say, just because she's really hip because she wears a bee outfit, and she's really...
I don't have a JoJo Siwa bow.
She's really down with it, but she's really not. So the way that she is down with it and the way that she's able to communicate with the kids...
You put a big bow right here.
Figure out what's trending.
And that's how I know what's cool. I didn't do that because... I'm not cool.
So what's trending on the internet, young lady?
Okay, JoJo Siwa is trending. The Dancing with the Stars finale is coming up this week. We're not going to talk about that.
Is this JoJo Siwa?
No.
Oh, okay.
I told you the bow.
Oh, bow. Where's the bow?
Those are headphones.
Oh, is this JoJo Siwa?
No.
Okay.
We're going to get to those people.
Okay.
President John F. Kennedy is trending today because this is the anniversary of the day that the 35th president of the U.S. was shot by... Dun-dun-dun. You thought I was going to tell you, but I don't have the
well,
secrets.
If you were the one that breaks it... Well, it's like I remember a number of years ago...
Ted Cruz.
Wasn't it like... Wrong. Who did that joke? Was it Brian Regan, one of my favorite comedians, who said like... He was at the store one time and he saw a magazine that it was High Times magazine and it said, "Who killed Martin Luther King?" And it was like High Times magazine. And he's like, "Well, High Times crack the case, High Times magazine.
Okay.
You're the ones that are going to figure out, like, who killed JFK or who... All right.
It was Walt Disney. No, I don't know. Nobody knows. Okay. Patriot Purge is trending. This is the Tucker Carlson three-part special on Fox News. Part one has already aired on a paid subscription service. And two Fox News contributors, Steve Hayes and Jonah Goldberg, are both leaving the network because of it. Specifically, their statement says this of the special. This special is presented in the style of an exposé, a hard-hitting piece of investigative journalism. This is their statement here. In reality, it is a collection of incoherent conspiracy mongering riddled with factual inaccuracies, half-truths, deceptive imagery, and damning omissions. Can I say damning?
Yeah.
Okay. And its message is clear. The U.S. government is targeting patriotic Americans in the same manner and with the same tools that is used to target Al-Qaeda. Now, neither of us have seen this documentary, but these two actually started their own news service called The Dispatch. And so it's...
That on the left is Jonah Goldberg. I've interviewed these guys hundreds of times, and that's Stephen Hayes on the right there.
Okay. So they are leaving Fox News because of this. And they did say, you know, they've enjoyed their time on Fox News. They do think there needs to be a dissenting voice to liberal media, but this is a bridge too far and they are leaving.
And so they started this Dispatch. I haven't even looked at dispatch.com.
I suppose, yeah, I had no idea about it either. And so I signed up. I want to see what they have to say. I have no opinion about
Jonah Goldberg. I mean, he's a very good writer. Is it a Substack? So it looks like it's built on Substack. Oh yeah, it is. It's a Substack newsletter. So it's a Substack. So basically, you know, all these journalists are doing now. It's like moving over to Substack, and you can support, like, it's like Glenn Greenwald. I signed up. You know, I'm a supporter of Glenn Greenwald's.
Same. Caitlin Johnston.
Yeah. I mean, so, hey, and the money goes directly to them, you know, instead of like a big media corporation. So that's the future.
I want to say, like, these people that are leaving, like, I'd never liked Megyn Kelly on Fox. I didn't, like, but now that she has her own thing and she's not like behind their teleprompters, I actually really like her take on things. So I've been watching her on YouTube, and it's like, I love that these people can get away because, as you know, they have an agenda that's sometimes pushed down to them that they don't have a choice of what, you know, like, I think some of them get big enough. They do have a choice in the stories they're doing, but I still think they're controlled with what they can say.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and they
that is true. But I also think that a lot of time in that chair on a Fox News set, people are not actually listening to what they are saying. That was absolutely my experience when people would say, like, oh, your husband works for Fox, and give me some kind of snooty attitude about it. And I would be like, you're not listening then to what he has. They would say, well, I believe this. And I would say, well, you're not listening to him at all then if you think that that's not what he believes either. And it's not even about belief. It's about fact. And so a lot of times it's just the atmosphere that you're sitting in it leads people's conviction bias in one place or another.
Certainly. Yeah. Certainly. Oh. All right. What else is trending?
Dan Mullen is trending because the University of Florida fired the head coach on Sunday. I guess he was doing a poor job of coaching. Do either of you have an opinion about that? I don't.
I think that I do. I think he looks like Joe Manchin.
Okay. Cool.
I could see that.
But I don't know anything about his.
I know nothing. Record. I was talking to Glenn, in our family here, and I was saying I don't know anything about college football. Like I was like, same. I don't know. I just watch I just watch NFL or I don't know.
Okay. Also, Luke Walton is trending. He was fired as the head basketball coach for the Sacramento Kings, I guess for the same reason.
All right.
Or
so, yeah, they always the fall guy. You know, the coaches, they always take him down. We'll see.
Okay. Mary Shelley is trending because the New York Times tweeted that H.G. Wells invented science fiction, which is an offensive thing to say because Mary Shelley's Frankenstein was published in 1818, well before H.G. Wells was born in 1866. That was a stupid thing to say. We assume this is a painting of Mary Shelley. Sorry.
Yeah,
there are no images of her.
not a photo.
She is pre-Twitter as well as pre-H.G. Wells.
But this goes, I mean, New York Times proving once again.
They're idiots.
Yeah, like, well, I don't get it. I just don't understand.
It's like they don't have Google or DuckDuckGo there.
Okay, this is a Hollywood adaptation of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Right.
Clayton and I were talking today. We're like, yeah, can we credit her with the original? Can we think of any science fiction before this book?
So, published in 1616, The Chemical Wedding predates Johannes Kepler's novel Somnium, which is written in 1608 but not published until 1634, and which usually gets the nod as the first science fiction story.
What's it called?
Okay.
The Chemical Wedding.
The Chemical Wedding. So not even
1616.
So not even Mary Shelley.
Right. It's saying that Mary Shelley's Frankenstein was 1818.
Yes.
Right. But so the New York Times is like, well, H.G. Wells then, guess is fine, you know, 1918 or whatever it was.
So you hear here's that, New York Times? I did a Google search.
New York Times can't figure it out. New York Times is so bad. The Chemical Wedding. Okay. What is it about? Is it, huh. It's a Rosicrucian document.
Huh.
Is it concerning the inner transformation of the soul? All right. That sounds like a book I'm not going to read.
Yeah, I don't think I'll catch that one up.
I have a hard time reading stuff from like the early 1900s. Like, just, you know, it's hard enough reading like Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. I don't want to read something from 1620.
Okay, and finally, Atlanta Airport is trending because a convicted felon accidentally shot a gun off while he was attempting to get through security. No one was seriously injured, but you are not supposed to bring a gun through airport security.
Just like, sorry, just went off.
Yes. How do you not know that? You
and
know?
That's just a hashtag America. That's all you can say about that. I mean,
yeah, people are like running. Like, I mean, it was crazy. Like, look at the chaos inside the airport. Everyone's like, get out of the way. There's like,
okay. That was my bad.
I didn't mean to. I was just going home for the holidays. It's okay. I'm a convicted felon, and I brought a gun to the airport. I didn't get the memo. This is America at Thanksgiving. Jesus.
Aye, aye, aye. Well, that's all I got for you tomorrow. I'll find some more fun stuff today. Tomorrow. Or today. Which, I'm in a time loop.
It's the bee outfit.
When is today?
It's the bee costume.
It's tomorrow.
It's not a costume. It's just a shirt. It's a comfortable shirt.
It's a comfortable shirt. Do we have any... I should mention before we go, I've got a YouTube channel. I'll be publishing... let me mention this, my Telegram channel. So I have a trading group on Telegram where I publish different setups and so forth in the crypto space and stocks. And so people that are in our trading group, I got a really kind email this morning from a person who's in our Telegram group. If you just go to morninginvest.com/telegram will take you to the proper Telegram channel because there's imposters out there. But I got a really nice email from someone today that follows me there. And says, hey, the coin that you mentioned over the weekend, I made a lot of money on. You predicted that it would go up 30%, and it did. So thank you for that. That was great, and it did. I predicted a coin would go up 30% based on the data, and sure enough, it took off, and he made some good money. So hopefully you will be able to take advantage of that. I just post different setups that I'm investing in. So just go to morninginvest.com/telegram.
That is a social endeavor. Clayton is not a financial advisor.
I am not a financial advisor. I just tell you what I'm investing in. So you can, you know, do your own due diligence, decide if you want to, but that's something I tell you the setups that I am investing in. I don't tell you to buy anything.
Okay. And we'll see you here tomorrow. We'll see you here on Wednesday. We will see you here on Thursday. We will not see you on Friday. We are happy now to read your super chats if you have any.
Yes, we have. So one from Edna Crary. David, is it the hidden life of trees? No, it is the secret life of trees is what you want to read. The secret life of trees. And then we got two super chats from Sheila Farrell. They're just super stickers. So thank you so much for the super stickers. And that is all.
Thank you so much. Okay. Oh, I see Tyrell Immel just said Kyle, or just Lane news or opinions. Well, I mean, there's no news. I mean, there's going to be this big documentary tonight on the Kyle Rittenhouse on Tucker Carlson's show. Apparently, we learned that they had an embedded team following him for weeks.
During the trial?
During the trial. So tonight they're going to be releasing that documentary, the interview with Kyle Rittenhouse post-trial. He came out, we got some glimpses of it already, where he says he's pro-Black Lives Matter. He supports the Black Lives Matter movement, which I'm sure made some people's heads explode. So we do know that piece. So that'll probably be on Tucker's show tonight, apparently. And then as far as Ghislaine Maxwell, we see that she was blessed by the Pope. So her and Jeffrey Epstein were blessed by Pope John Paul II.
The Pope's like, you cannot say a word. I bless you.
Proving that, like, you can't wash away that stuff, right, I guess. And apparently she's got a tattoo of a snake on her back, that we learned that as well. So that's all I got to say about Ghislaine and Jeffrey Epstein. And but there's an exclusive photo of them being blessed in the Sun newspaper today. By Pope John Paul II. Like, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you.
Okay.
There you go. Didn't work, though. I guess. I don't know. Like, nope. No, it didn't.
I'm not going to say anything about that either. I'm going to go roast some sweet potatoes, you guys.
Wow. Yeah, there's a bunch of things I would like to say, but I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, I got a brine to make. I got some sweet potatoes to roast. I got a.
You know what we do?
Pumpkin seeds.
We take sweet potatoes and regular potatoes and mix them together.
Whoa, no. That's just crazy talk.
Whoa,
no,
that's blasphemous.
So good.
Where's the Pope when you need him now on that?
That's the weirdest thing ever, but I need to see an image of it.
But I think that would taste. It sounds like it would taste good, but I just don't want to.
Very good.
I just don't want to. I don't want to risk it.
No, you know why Clayton wouldn't be down with that? And he'd give me, like, passive aggressive, like, yeah, it's good. Is because. You can't actually.
I think we're
put gravy on it.
I would just tell you, I don't like
it. You can. You get the salt, the sweet, the gravy. I'm telling you.
Are you on your period? That's like period.
I think I am. I think I'm close. It's the week before, so.
Okay.
Someone says, "Brine on, honeybee. Brine on, honeybee.
Brine time, dudes."
I think we're beyond passive aggressive. I would just be like, this tastes like ass. Like, I don't want to eat this stuff.
Don't knock it till you try it.
You know what? Clayton's like, because I'm like, can't we just please do Thanksgiving a restaurant? And we did that last year, and he was really unhappy with it. So he's like, no, I want the whole shebang. So we're doing it. And I'm like, well, you're going to help. And then as I go through, I realize there's nothing here I want you to do.
Right. That's the
so
best.
So you're just going to clean all the dishes afterwards.
Okay. I do that every year. I will. All right. Much love to all of you guys. We will see you back here a little bit later today. I've got a video on my Clayton Morris channel, youtube.com/Clayton Morris. Someone wrote me and said, hey, can you do a video on like really inexpensive alternative coins that are like pennies that are blowing up right now? And I will have that a little bit later today for you. So be sure to subscribe to that.
Did you see the new
that.
Branding that I sent over to you?
Yes. Looks awesome. I wonder if I could show
if
it.
You
can
guys,
you show
if
it
you
or
guys
no?
like 80s... let me see. I think I can. You guys like 80s, like hip synth wave and stuff like that. This new branding is on point.
So, I mean, this is some of the graphics we're working on here. I got it. So this is, it's not going to have it over my face, but these are some of the different, 80s synth wave vibe that I wanted. This is all coming together with the different coin ticker symbols and everything else. I love it. I love it. I love it.
That looks like. You're going to battle Zerg.
I am.
Yes.
Yes. Love it. Don't mock it until you try it.
Alrighty, dudes.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.